there's no place like home for the holidays. And no matter how far away you roam, if you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can. Welcome back to Horror for the Holidays, listeners. I am your host, Dracula.
And I'm also Dracula.
Oh, yeah, it's us. It's your favorite boys back at it again. Talking about 2026's Dracula.
A.K.A. Dracula, a love story.
A.K.A. Dracula. It's actually about Dracula this time.
My real fast, so my oldest thinks my Fred Schneider from the B-52's impression sounds like Dracula. So it's like,
how?
Which then just makes me think, like, I don't drink wine.
Which Dracula do you sound like?
Dracula. This is what, Jeff, this is what Dracula sounds like.
Of course. Yes, yes. I totally hear it, Jay.
Stay back, Van Helsing!
I don't cast a reflection in the mirror.
Get a load of those brides over there. Those are the brides of Dracula.
I'm seeing it.
It's what he sounds. Yeah, it's what Dracula. What Dracula has always sounded like.
Of course, I agree.
When Bram Stoker was writing Dracula, he intended for the Count to sound like this all of the time.
Indeed.
Anyway.
But yeah, I mean, it's a Dracula movie that's actually about Dracula this time. It's actually mostly from his story and his point of view. I thought that was refreshing because it's usually, oh, this is Dracula, but it's actually the story of some lame humans who Dracula occasionally crosses paths with.
Real fast, run down the trailers.
Oh, yeah.
Scream 7.
Yes.
Obsession, which we've talked about.
Yeah.
I'm excited. That looks crazy. Ready or Not 2, a different trailer than the one I've seen previously.
A different one this time.
Gale Yellow Brick Road.
Didn't see that one.
And then The Bride, which very excited for.
Saw The Bride. Amber wants to see that one. She liked this movie as well. Honestly, I didn't. The only trailer I was looking for but didn't see was I was hoping we'd get a trailer for that supposed to be killer Winnie the Pooh, not associated with the other Winnie the Pooh movies. There's a new Winnie the Pooh slasher coming out. I was hoping there might be a trailer, but it was a bit of a long shot.
So we walked in. There were like two other people in the theater. About 15 minutes into the movie, a guy walked in, sat in the front row, watched a good chunk of the movie, got up, left, came back, sat down, started scrolling his phone. And then, like, one of the people in the crowd went, "Turn your phone off." And then he turned his phone off and then left like 15 minutes before the movie was done.
Yeah, that sounds like the average American moviegoer. We were actually in a small theater, pretty small, probably like, I don't know, 50 seats maybe. And it was about half full. And people were actually pretty into it. Everybody was quiet, paying attention. And there was some applause at the end of the movie.
Yeah, but yeah, if you've seen Dracula, you pretty much know what this movie is about.
This one gets a little bit more into the actual historical Dracula figure at the beginning, and then it obviously goes off into the supernatural.
Yep. Which, yeah, I did kind of enjoy some of that at the beginning.
Yeah, seeing the actual prince. And honestly, it's more of, like Jay said, a Dracula love story, pretty much.
There was a big contingent of people online who were like, "Why are you advertising this movie as a horror movie? It's clearly meant to be a romance." And I'm like, "Yeah, okay, I guess." I mean,
they're all romances, though.
Yeah, like
all the Dracula stories.
Yeah, it's always kind of been this.
He's always after one woman in particular for some reason. This way, at least, there's more backstory as to why he's targeting a specific woman.
Yep. So yeah, I broke mine down, my review, or my kind of thoughts down into pros and cons. But I don't know if you want to just kind of talk about stuff and all.
I mean, I thought Christoph Waltz works very well
as the Van Helsing,
as the vampire hunter guy. Yeah, it's alluded like there's more lore, like he's a member of an order that studies supernatural creatures, vampires in particular. I liked his introduction at the insane asylum. I love that they jump right into the vampires too. They don't waste any time. Like, what is it?
Yep.
What's going on? No, he just
walks. He's like, I've dealt with this. Yes. Before.
They go to the basement and he's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I know what this is. They uncover or whatever. That actress who played that vampire did like an amazing job.
She was great.
I loved the way she, especially when he gives her the drop of blood or whatever to get her to talk. I thought that was a really cool scene. Yep. But yes, he treats the entire thing like it's casual, which I thought was cool. And he's like, the doctor doesn't really believe it's supernatural. He's like, oh, maybe there's some natural explanation. And then he just holds the cross up and it catches on fire and he just dunks it in the thing. He's like, yeah, I don't think so.
No, he was great. Christoph Waltz was great.
He really sold the energy of like, he's done it a long time or whatever. He's kind of jaded, but coming across at the end, like, you know, you should do what you know is right or whatever, you know, don't ruin her life like you ruined your life. I thought it was a surprisingly emotional ending for a Dracula movie.
Danny Elfman soundtrack.
Yes.
Fucking fantastic.
I thought, wow, why doesn't Danny Elfman do this kind of music more often?
I was sitting there and I was like, I saw that pop up and like, no, the score, the soundtrack was fucking awesome. I'm like, way to go, Danny Elfman.
You know, for a movie that was barely promoted, this has some like heavy hitting talent behind it too. I was like, they got Danny Elfman and Christoph Waltz in this project. And the only reason I even knew about it existing was because I go to so many movies. I happened to catch a trailer for it.
Like I said, we walked out of the theater for a different movie and there was a poster. And I just went, there's a new Dracula movie coming out.
I mean, it was, like I said, begins more grounded in the historical Dracula, who obviously at that time Romania was under attacks by the Turks who were trying to expand into Europe. And the legend goes his wife was killed in some kind of Turkish incident. You know, those kind of Turkish incidents we don't like to talk about.
I hate having those Turkish incidents.
But then from there, basically, it goes into the legendary part where he curses God for doing it or whatever.
I loved that scene with like the Pope or whatever.
Oh my God, yes, when he's like interrogating this bishop about why God didn't answer his prayer, and then snaps the cane in half and impales him on it.
That was great.
I was like, what, incredibly well done scene, especially the actors who were playing his knights or whatever. Like you could feel their unease as soon as he walks in, and they grow like gradually more horrified as he starts insulting God and killing people. I thought they did a really good job. I mean, even like the doctor who that act is, he French, do you know, the actor who plays the doctor?
I would think so,
because he looks like Theodore Roosevelt and he's wearing the same glasses. I just could not get that comparison out of my mind.
I didn't write it down. There was someone who I thought he looked like a famous actor, and I went, wouldn't it be wild if that, and now of course I don't remember who it was, but I was like, oh, I think I thought it looked like Nathan Lane.
Oh,
and I was like, it'd be wild if they just got Nathan Lane to play like a French doctor in this Dracula movie.
That would be insane. I thought setting it in Paris was cool. I was still tying it a little bit into England though, because it's the queen's like great niece or whatever that's become a vampire.
Yep.
And so that's why she's being treated at this prestigious hospital. Like I said, the actress who played her, really great. She was Maria, I think was her name.
I liked a thing you and I were talking about before we started recording. Dracula still has a lot of his Dracula powers.
Yes, almost all of them.
But instead of him having like the thrall over women where he can like hypnotize them or whatever, instead it is like a perfume that he like sourced like all of like the most like,
yes,
like intoxicating ingredients from across the globe.
Yes, I thought that was a really cool touch, him like traveling the world to build this like seductive perfume that no woman can resist. I thought that was a pretty cool scene, even though I understood what you said because you saw it before me and you're like, there's some like weird slapstick comedy moments. I know one of them, I'm sure, is the head.
Yes.
I knew that.
Someone gets decapitated, like the head hits another person in the head.
And then the way that the nuns are like trying to fight his pole or whatever once he puts the perfume on, I thought that was kind of like a slapstick kind of dance montage almost.
The gargoyles were the most slapsticky.
Oh my God.
I fucking hated those gargoyles. And then they start pulling out wrestling moves for some reason.
I was going to say, the gargoyles were kind of not doing it for me until the final battle at the castle, and they start busting out all their wrestling moves. I was like, that fucking gargoyle just hit that French soldier with the RKO.
No, the nun scene was fantastic. I wanted more from that nun scene. I was like, if more of the movie could have been like at that level, I think I would have liked it a lot more.
I want to say this actor who played Dracula, surprisingly, because it usually doesn't work very well, but a good male crier. You don't usually see that very often, but the way that he can like just like when he sees Mina do things that reminds him of his wife or mm-hmm. whatever, or like when he's doing like especially the scene where he's like losing hope. When he's at Versailles and he sees like this debauchery or whatever.
And well, and he thinks he sees his wife and it's not her.
Yeah, her. And then he just basically loses all hope or whatever. The way that the tear just like runs down out of his eye while his face is blank, I thought was really cool.
Kind of on some of that subject, I was expecting the movie to be a little sexier. I know you weren't as big of a Nosferatu fan as I was, but I'm like, that movie was monster fucker sexy, but like that movie was kind of sexy. And I was like, this movie could have been a little sexier.
I mean, in a way, I suppose Nosferatu is sexy.
like I said, in a monster fucker way.
In a certain twisted sense, I suppose.
In the same way that like The Shape of Water is sexy.
I gotta say, I enjoyed being able to understand what this Dracula was saying, Jay.
Visually, I think this movie was amazing to look at.
It was like surprisingly beautiful in some shots. I was like, why can't we get camera work like this in like mainstream movies?
One thing I will say. There were the big fight scene at the end was a little weird, but like the battle at the beginning looked really I can't tell you what was wrong with it, but it looked strange to me. I was watching that fight at the beginning. I'm like, why does this look so weird? And I don't know if it was just like the way it was shot. I don't know if they like did if there was something weird with the CGI, but it looked very strange to me.
I think it was because of they were doing kind of like a stylized thing to it with like the especially like at the end of the battle when they like crest the hill or whatever and they're like silhouetted in the blood red sky and they're looking down at the Turkish camp.
I think like someone I saw someone online say like they had like shot the fight scenes in like with like a different either a different frame rate or like a different type of film or something it looked like all those fight scenes looked straight. I was just like, why does this look so weird?
Yeah, I thought it was just like a stylistic choice, but I don't know. I enjoyed seeing it because you very rarely see any kind of medieval combat in movies anymore.
I felt like this movie very much wore its biggest inspiration, which is the Gary Oldman Dracula, on its sleeve. Like, all of the outfits are pretty much straight out of Gary Oldman Dracula.
I mean, his outfits are just the ones described in the book, so yeah.
But, like, you know, as opposed to, like, the Bela Lugosi, the long black cape and and all that stuff. Like, this is like, you get the butthead buns.
That's the thing is, yeah, in these more faithful Dracula adaptations, like the 91 and this one, he has different style clothes before he moves to, quote-unquote, civilization.
Yep.
But, yeah, in the Bela Lugosi one, he's already in, like, a London suit and tails, even when he's in Transylvania.
And then my last thing, and maybe I just don't remember. I'm willing to admit that. Has there been a more useless John Harker in Dracula? Like, he literally served no purpose in this movie at all.
I mean, he basically serves no purpose in any Dracula. He's the guy who goes there and gets, basically, he gets tricked by Dracula.
Yep.
And then he shows up later.
But, like, this one, literally, I'm just watching this, and I'm like, this John Harker, like, sucks more than any John Harker ever.
I think that's just more a symptom of the fact that this is more of a Dracula story than it is a John Harker story, because that's, in most versions of Dracula and in the book, he's the main character or whatever, and you're seeing Dracula from his perspective, and then you're seeing Dracula from his fiance's perspective, and then you see him from Van Helsing's perspective, but you never actually get much Dracula POV in most things, which I thought, that's why I liked this one a little bit. I was like, they took a chance and did something a little bit different.
It's certainly, like, in recent years, so my, in like the more recent Dracula things I've seen, like, I think I liked Last Voyage of the Demeter better than this, slightly. And, you know, that's a very different movie.
I was going to say, yeah, pretty different.
But also, I saw a stage play that was like Dracula, a comedy of terrors. And it was like four people playing all of the roles in the entire thing. Very comedic. And I'm like, I think that's my favorite Dracula I've seen recently.
Dracula Dead and Loving It. I mean, honestly, I think the few slapstick moments may have been inspired by that.
Would not surprise me at all.
But yeah, I mean, I liked it. I thought it was solid. I like the aspect they focus on Dracula a little bit more. I like that they set it in Paris this time instead of London. I thought that the Liberation Day celebration was a cool thing to set it during, because they were able to go to like that carnival.
No, I thought the carnival was really cool. I thought the carnival scene was really cool. I thought a lot of those scenes, like, I think the stuff in Paris was my favorite stuff in the whole movie, than the nun scene.
Yes, that was a good scene.
But I would probably, like, you know, on Send Help, I said, like, it's the third best movie I've seen this year. I've only seen three movies, three new movies. This is probably the fourth best movie I've seen this year. Not saying anything bad. But, like, when I saw it, I was like, and for me, I don't know, this might be kind of the dividing line. If it's better than this, it'll go above it. And, like, if it's worse than this, it'll go, like, this is kind of going to be maybe, like, my middle of the road.
I could see that. I think I would rather watch this probably than Send Help.
But that is to say, this was my fourth before I saw another new movie, Jeff.
Oh, yeah.
I went and saw the new Liam Neeson, Joe Keery, Cold Storage.
Oh my god, you mad man.
Jeff, it's my favorite movie of the year so far.
What has happened?
It is a mashup of Evolution and The Last of Us.
Okay.
Mixed maybe a little bit with Black Friday, the Devin Sawa, Bruce Campbell movie we did for the podcast. Like it has a bit of that mixed in with the other two.
Really?
Liam Neeson in a comedy role is always fantastic. Like,
I mean, yeah,
he could
The Naked Gun proves that.
You know, Steve Harrington, Keery, and Georgina Campbell were great together. Georgina Campbell from Barbarian, legit better CGI and practical effects than Send Help. I'm sure a much lower budget than a Sam Raimi fucking horror movie, and like, the effects were awesome. Like there's very noticeable CGI, but you don't, like, it doesn't take you out of it. And the frickin' monsters look amazing. All the monster effects look great. There's frickin' like cordyceps, like corpses, like lying around in like this Australian town at the beginning. They look awesome. And just like when the people start to turn into like goopy alien zombies, they look fucking cool as shit. Like, I literally sat there just like and loved every second of this fucking movie. It's funny, it's scary. Like I said, real goopy aliens. Not like the scariest movie you've ever seen, but like there's some like good, decent kind of like, that's kind of gross looking and stuff like that. That kind of scary. Probably my only con being, I hope Joe Keery doesn't get like typecast as playing Steve Harrington for his entire career, because he felt real Steve Harrington-y in this movie.
Well, you know what? If he's smart, if he does get typecast, he'll embrace it and make more movies as Steve.
Yep.
Because people, this is a pet peeve of mine. Stars who try to fight their typecasting when it's become inevitable. Like, I can understand if you break out or whatever, that's great. But it's like, if you try some other roles and people only remember you for your one role, just lean into it.
No, exactly. But it was the thing where I'm like, I'd like to see Joe Carey do something else. But like, at the same time, you know, if he plays Steve his whole career,
it wouldn't be the worst.
I'm not gonna complain about it. Steve's the best character in Stranger Things.
I do not understand actors who do not. It's like, you've tried other things, it hasn't panned out. Why not embrace the thing you're famous for?
Like, do I think, Jeff, if you went, so I really think you'd enjoy it. I think you should try to go see Cold Storage. I think you and your brother would both get a fucking kick out of it.
I'll see if he wants to go.
But you know, you might get a bit more. You know, you might pick up on like some of the military stuff that goes on. Be like, ah, that doesn't make sense or whatever. But for me, just a guy like who doesn't know, not much of a history buff, like, had a fucking great time. I mean, like,
if it's a comedy, that kind of stuff's forgivable.
Like, it fucking Liam Neeson like gets injured at the beginning, like a young Liam Neeson gets injured at the beginning of the movie, and then it's just him like complaining about his back the entire movie when he's old Liam Neeson.
Yes,
fucking great. Like, everything is just there's Jeff, there's like a boomer biker gang that's like, it's like we got Ironhead, we've got Abigail, we've got Dr. Simmons, and it's like it's like the rich guy with the nicest motorcycle,
the doctor, obviously,
who's a doctor who just joined this motorcycle gang because he, you know, bought a really nice motorcycle,
a bike on the weekends.
Like, it's so fucking funny. There's an old lady, and I thought they were gonna do the thing, oh, the old lady's gonna get zombied. No, she doesn't. Instead, she shows up and like blows a dude's head off. Like, it's fucking great.
Nice. I this does sound like something I should see.
I really think you'd enjoy it. I had a great time. You know, just the smile, like, the smile did not leave my face from like the second the movie started. I'm like, this is fantastic. Like, why can't more movies do this and kind of come out of nowhere and be fucking amazing?
You know, that's a good question. Why doesn't that happen very much anymore? Used to be new movies would drop all the time. You'd be like, God, that's awesome. Now it's like super rare.
Yep. But yeah, like I heard about this movie on Thursday of last week, and it came out on Friday of last week, and that was the first I'd even heard of it. And I'm like, you know, and people were, and it was just getting some buzz, and I'm like, I might go. I like Liam Neeson in comedy. I like Joe Carey. Like, I'll go fucking see this. And like I said, so far it is my favorite movie of the year. I fucking loved it. I cannot say enough good things about Cold Story. Maybe it is just below Bone Temple, but it's kind of, those two are like fighting it out at the top.
I'll definitely have to check it out.
Anything else? Any other?
I rewatched Smile 1 and 2. Still surprisingly solid movies. I know everybody was like, oh yeah, Smile's going to be a ripoff. Truth or Dare, it's going to be garbage.
Fucking God, Truth or Dare fucking sucks so bad.
I was like,
it
was
fucking Ron.
But yeah, no, I rewatched those. I'm thinking, I don't know if it's wise, Jay, but I'm thinking about doing an Alien Odyssey and watching all the Alien-related movies.
Ooh. You know, I think there'd be worse ways to spend your time.
That might be an interesting stocking stuffer, is if we both watch all the Alien franchise and then do kind of a retrospective review of
it. That might be a fun thing to do, especially during the summer. I know we're talking about, for Fatboy Summer, mm-hmm. doing all three Joyride movies. Yes. We're gonna go on a little.
Going on a joyride.
We're gonna go on a joyride and go on a little road trip and talk about the Joyride movies.
You know, honestly, I was thinking that, especially when we do these special events, there's really no reason to restrict ourselves to one movie per episode, because that's kind of like our main Horror for the Holidays thing.
Oh, I don't know if I could. but I think, yeah, maybe during the summer, like, we try to watch as many Alien things as we do, yeah, a little stocking stuffer about, yeah, it.
That could be fun.
I think for the next stocking stuffer, we're probably going to talk about Scream.
It's pretty much obligatory for this show to cover.
Yeah,
Scream.
Well, yeah, we'll do that. And we'll, and also hopefully I want to see Psycho Killer. So if you get a chance to see that, we can maybe talk about that too.
Well, you know what, Jay, I hear something off in the distance. There's somebody talking about me gold.
Yep. Yeah, we'll get it out of the way. Next week, our mainline episode, it's close enough to St. Patrick's Day. We're finally tackling Leprechaun.
Oh, I'm so excited. I mean, it's arguably the one of the weaker movies in the franchise because it's one of the least batshit insane. But we're going to be watching Leprechaun 1.
We all had to start somewhere, and we're starting with Leprechaun 1. Our boy Warwick Davis. I
mean, there's a lot of good stuff in Leprechaun 1.
Rachel before her nose job on Friends. They're all there.
They're all there. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's no Leprechaun in Space or Leprechaun in the Hood twice. But, you know, we got to start out at the beginning.
Listener, if you want to get in touch with us, talk about Dracula Love Story, your thoughts on that, or talk about Cold Storage, if you happen to see that, send us an email, horrortheholidays@gmail.com. Social media, we're all the places, @horror4holidays. That's horror, the number 4 holidays.
YouTube.com/horrorfortheholidays. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell. Listen to the audio archive. All the episodes are up on there. All the podcatchers have the show. Leave us 5-star reviews. 0 stars if you could. Even if you don't like the show, leave us a 5-star review and tell us why.
Yep.
We're not reading if it's not 5 stars.
Yeah, we only read 5-star reviews. I don't know how much plainer we could make this. We only read 5-star reviews.
Listen. Jay and I are big-time movie critics, and we do not have time to read every single review people post on our shit, okay? Yep. 5-star reviews only.
Christmas Podcast Network, check them out. There's all sorts of good shows over there. Certainly stuff worth listening to. Holidays After Dark recently, I believe, celebrated their 100th episode. So, ooh, you know, always a fun milestone for other people over there. And also, I believe... I don't know if it'll still be going on by the time this episode comes out, but voting for Jerry D's Raddies is going on. And Jeff, we got 2 nominations.
Do we?
For Bloodbeat. So,
I didn't realize so many people were interested in listening to us Bloodbeat, Jay.
So, let's flood the votes. Let's make this a multi-award winning podcast.
Yes. Oh my God. If we could say that.
Because currently we're just an award-winning, but we could be a multi-award-winning podcast.
I mean, this is our Oscars, people, so yeah. Go out there and support.
Yep, us blood-beating off, not in a hot tub.
We're blood-beating off, no hot tub in sight, but in full view of Jerry D.
Yeah, he just had to sit there and watch.
Watch 2 fat freaks blood-beat off. Ugh.
Anyway, we'll see you next week for Leprechaun.
Indeed, we will. Goodbye.
Bye. We'll